Most, if not all of us, I think, have been paying extra attention to how politics and policies are affecting necessities in life, like groceries and health care. In case you didn't know, maybe you don't, there's been a huge rush of policy changes and plans being revealed that are or will impact another must-have of life, whatever it is that you're driving or looking to drive in the near future. Joining us to take a look at some of the major actions being taken, how they'll impact the U.S. auto market, is the co-founder of Car Edge, Ray Shefska. How are you today, Ray?
Chris, I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to our conversation.
Well, I look forward to helping people realize everything that you're doing with Car Edge, and the website, of course, is caredge.com. We'll get to that in a moment. I guess when we talk about the auto industry, politics, and policy, we've got to start with the tariffs. And from your observations, because we've seen in retail area, for example, the box stores, for example, they've been trying to eat as much of the tariff weight as possible to go as easy as they can on the customers so they don't have to worry about losing business. Are the auto dealers, auto industry, making the same effort, and if so, how successfully?
Most of the manufacturers have been trying to eat as much of the tariffs as they possibly can. For some of the manufacturers, it is turning their financial situations upside down as far as profitability is concerned. But we also continue to see prices at least going up to some degree, perhaps not to the degree of the cost of the tariffs themselves, but all the prices seem to be inching up, and for many of the manufacturers, the price increase is hidden by the destination charge that they add to each car. And what we have found is, in many cases, they have dramatically increased the destination charge in order to keep the MSRP, the original MSRP, at a lower price point. I think that's more to placate the president than anything.
If you look at the cars and sizes, I mean, this sounds good initially, especially if you're among us older people such as myself. You think a larger car, a heavier car, is a safer car because the Trump administration is getting rid of, they're called CAFE standards, meaning how many miles per gallon any vehicle can get. But does that not give question to cost efficiency? Because it's great if you have a safe vehicle, but if you're going to pay 10, 15, 25% more to gas it up, especially if you're a long-distance driver, where's the happiness and joy in all of that?
Well, I'm not sure. The obviously, everybody is concerned with the affordability issues surrounding automobiles at this point. There really seems to be two camps when it comes to auto sales. Those who can't afford to participate in the market, which is about 13 to 15% of the population, and then the rest of the people, me included, saying these prices are nuts. And so the administration has decided, well, we have to try and impact affordability if we can. And their thought to do that is to, well, lower CAFE standards so fuel efficiency doesn't have to be as high as what it was scheduled to be in the past, allowing manufacturers to utilize older, cheaper technologies when they build the car. And so the hope would be, and I think this is strictly a hope, that because the ultimate cost to produce the vehicles should go down, that the manufacturers will correspondingly lower the asking prices for the cars. Now, whether or not we actually see that happen is another question altogether. But we're gonna impact fuel economy. We're gonna impact emissions. We're going to impact the environment in an attempt to bring the average cost of a new vehicle down from $49,000 and change to something more affordable.
Dr. Ray Shefska, who's co-founder of Car Edge, caredge.com, the website. We have that on our homepage as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. With the idea of affordability, a lot of people saw an out in EVs to get out from under high fuel prices, which was great because there was a sizable subsidy tied to a purchase of electric vehicles, which has now since gone away. How is that affecting EV prices? Is that a market that's saying, okay, to keep the flow and the trend that we've had coming our way, are they looking at adjusting prices, keeping any increases as delayed as possible, if not eliminated?
We have seen some of the manufacturers try and reduce their pricing to some degree. The reality is that EV sales kind of fell off a cliff after the end of September when the federal tax incentives went away. So the manufacturers anticipated that happening. And in most cases, EVs are not a profitable venture for most of these automobile manufacturers. So it's hard for them to eat the $7,500 federal tax credit loss and continue to sell vehicles. So we have seen the share of EV sales drop to around 6.5% of all the vehicles out there. I think it's a multi-pronged thing when it comes to EVs. Yes, they're much more cost-effective when it comes to maintenance and things like that and fuel. But the infrastructure just doesn't seem to be as robust as perhaps many would like it to be. And the average cost is significantly higher still than internal combustion engine vehicles.
People might be looking at, as the saying goes, size matters. So the smaller might be the more inexpensive to run. There's this tiny little car made in Japan that Donald Trump's apparently enamored with and wants it to be sold in America. And if you remember the old British comedy TV show, Mr. Bean, England had their version called the Mini. If you can picture that, I think we're talking slightly smaller with this car, though, Ray. And it's, again, a safety issue. If you're riding something like this on Route 80 here in New Jersey with more SUVs and Mack trucks and any kind of car, well, personal security and safety, I think, will be questionable at best.
I think you could throw that out the window. the truth of the matter is, yes, the president thinks they're cute. Yes, he would like to see them sold in America, but here's the caveat. He wants them built in America and sold in America. Well, that's not going to affect affordability anytime soon because, well, you have to build the facility in which to actually produce the vehicles. So that would take time. And then the reality is we are talking about micro vehicles. Vehicles that are powered by 660cc engines. These are not vehicles that are meant to be on highways. These are tiny, tiny vehicles that, yeah, I think it sounds good. I think it makes a great sound bite that, we're trying to make vehicles more affordable. But, suddenly you get the sense that, I don't know, we're going to look like Thailand and everybody's going to be driving around in these tiny little cars. I don't know about you, Chris, but I just don't see that happening.
I think the smallest car I ever owned was a Ford Mustang, and even in that, I didn't feel tremendously safe.
Well, I have driven and owned many Mini Coopers, and they're pretty small, but they would be considered large in comparison to these K cars that they're talking about out of Japan.
Yeah, for you listening, when you have a moment, look up on Google Image what these cars look like. And there's plenty of images, too, of them next to standard-sized vehicles. And you're going to look at this thinking, someone thinks these are a good idea? So I digress. Car Edge, let's talk about this, because between policy changes and federal interest rate cuts, people thinking, well, now's the time to buy, but then again, is it? Talk about what some of the information, education, and insight you offer through Car Edge for the consumer.
Yeah, at Car Edge, my son and I have put together a company that is really, I guess, a consumer advocacy organization in a sense. In that we want to expose and make people aware of the tactics that dealerships utilize in order to help them close a deal. And so we try and provide enough information so that, well, we can level the playing field and an informed consumer would know what to expect and how to counteract what to expect. So, we're there with blogs and videos and a customer. We have a community forum where people share ideas, and it's just, It's just there to help people navigate the car buying journey, which we all know is filled with potholes and lies and deception.
and you have a great YouTube channel. You have free information. You have various ways for people to get more in-depth information depending on their needs and their wants. You really de-stress the situation, because it's an old saying, but it's old because it's true. Knowledge is empowerment, and you do it factually as opposed to little sponsored bias that other people tend to do. I won't mention any names, but you know, you're totally legit and independent with what you put out there.
Well, you know, we started 6 years ago this month doing what we're doing because I spent 43 years in automotive, and my son resented the fact that I was never home. Well, so did my daughter and my wife, come to think of it. But we just decided that it was the right thing to do, that people need to know what to expect when they go to a dealership. If you're going to buy a car, Chris, my guess is you don't do it every day. Maybe you do it every 3 to 5, 6 years. Well, sales personnel and dealership personnel, they're doing it 8, 10, 12, 15 times a day. They're pretty good at it. And so they can bring a lot to the table that you wouldn't understand. And so our whole concept is to try and make life easier for the customer.
And also evens out the playing field, because obviously the salesperson sees you on the lot. Well, you're there for a reason. It's just a matter of them to close the deal. And if you're on that your side with a lot more information, then again, the playing field stays nice and level, and you're going to get a legit deal and the best deal that you can get and what you're looking for. Dive into CarEdge.com, because they are the real deal, and they'll get you what you need to know and show you how to put it to use. CarEdge.com, the website. He's the co-founder, CarEdge, Ray Sheska. Ray, thanks for the insight. Help us make sanity of all the crazy stuff happening in and to the U.S. auto market. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.